Hello, hello, everybody, and welcome to A New Meridian. We are on the Chong Mo, and we're working with transforming fear into healthy, practical action. As always, I've got my trusty sidekicks here. Charlie is off to the side. I've got Roxy down below, too. So we're well supported by Puppy Power. And as we get into today, I'll talk very briefly about the Chong Mo, and we'll continue to explore it over our time together over the next 8 sessions. So the Chong Mo is, as I've alluded to a couple times now, one of my personal faves. I see really interesting results with this one. And the Chong Mo, much like the spleen meridian, helps to lift things up. So if there's weakness in the qi in either one of those meridians, it can lead to a tendency for things to fall down, to prolapse would be the fancy word. And that can even include things like uterine prolapse, where the uterus lining begins to fall downward. If it's really severe, it can even enter into like the vaginal canal, for instance. So if we have a tendency to notice that our energy, maybe not in that a full extent of having organs prolapsing and falling out of us, is happening for us, but maybe there's a tendency for things to feel like it's hard to hold ourselves up. It always feels like there's this pressure on us to, or there's a pulling sensation perhaps deep within that's anchoring us somehow down and down, maybe even going into a little fetal position, stop position can happen with this, I find. And the Chong Mo is supporting this blossoming of lifting up. And as its energy rises, it's meant to nourish all of the organs in its pathway. So for instance, if the Chong Mo was weak and it wasn't able to get energy up to the heart, we might be prone to challenges in our relationship. It might feel like there's just no good outlook on life. We're stuck in depression mode, and we tend to filter everything through that lens, as an example. And that might even give rise to physical heart challenges. There might be like actual heart pain, heartache, heartbreak, and physical compromise of the actual organ functioning. And we might end up with like atrial fibrillation or periventricular contractions, things along those lines. If it was rising up and it wasn't quite able to get to the lungs, then we might be prone to having weakness in our lungs. We might be prone to things like asthma, or we just might not have like a really strong breath to be able to work in our body and do all the lovely things that breath does, which is about everything. So that's just another example. So the Chong Mo is also really, really important when it comes to all things related to babies and healthy pregnancies, and also healthy moms on the other side of pregnancy. So restoring the energy flow after baby has been born can be challenging, especially if there is a C-section involved, because that scar can cut across the Chong Mo meridian where it comes up out of the perineum. It goes into an area just above the pubic bone and it branches out to rise up bilaterally. Okay. So if that's not really strong and replenished, we might be prone to things like really postpartum, quite strong postpartum depression or rage or tiredness and weakness in the system. And that can still be lingering in your body mind years after you've given birth. And you might be wondering, why did I always feel so exhausted after that pregnancy or after that second or third or whatever it was? It can be related to, for instance, this territory. Now, as we get into things, we'll see where we go and see what flows through the system as we always do. And I'm just going to check my chat feature. If there's anything else to mention that you haven't already, let me know about it in email. You are welcome to do so. And as I bring that all up, I'm going to invite you to take a moment to readjust. Move your bodies around, get comfy, cozy, make any adjustments that you need to, and settle on in. I'll do the same on this end. Then I'm going to invite us to begin here by means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in. to receive. To drink in life. And every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go. To make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And any part of that that's pleasant, to the very least neutral, taking a moment to receive it and to drink that nourishment in. And I invite you to either scan your outward or your inward, whichever one calls to you, environment. And as you take time to scan either outwardly or inwardly, the invitation is to let your gaze land on anything in particular that's, again, pleasant to neutral. And when your gaze lands there, invitation to notice what it is you like the most about this place where your gaze is drawn to. What is it you like the most? And as you take time to notice that, the invitation is to also savor it, to drink this nourishment in. And as you mindfully receive it, breath by breath, noticing what happens in your body mind as you drink that in, what are you present to? And as you notice that, so there's anything pleasant and neutral that feels really good, but what you're noticing in your body mind from the results of being present to that other thing that felt good, feel free to savor it all. Feel free to drink it all in. Thank you for calling this medicine in, and thank you for being here. Thank you so much to all that's gone into this moment, including your families for creating you, for your ancestors for creating your family, for your lineage for creating your ancestors. Thank you to this pattern of creation itself. And thank you deeply to all of those that have caretaken and stewarded this very land that's nurtured, that's nourished all of the creation. And as we embark today, I wish you blessings on your journey. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. And as we start off today, we're going to head into the sixth house. The sixth house is very much about being in service to our health, of our body, mind, to take practical action. And as it works with the small intestine energy of intellect, of awareness, of discernment, and Mercury, which brings in, from a certain angle, intellectual curiosity, think of this as helping to bring in a sense of curiosity as to how you can be of best service from a place of discernment and awareness to the health of your body, mind, and what it might be calling in this moment. And as we connect to that, We're actually going to run circulation of all the healing resources. And we're going to do it for that Chung Mo meridian. And as we support the meridian, which I think is probably safe to say it's a primary support for our entire body mind of nourishment and nurturing, we get to literally learn what it's like to have that which supports also receive support. And that might be a useful metaphor for some of us that like to give and support others. What is it to also get to receive those circulating healing resources, just like the Chung Mo is? We're gonna bring in blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains those toxins, the gunk, the waste, the low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with chi or vitality, consciousness or awareness. Right down into all the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons. Working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor. Endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, lower anxiety, lower depression, help our immune system, our nervous system alike, and really, for that matter, most of our body mind to heal. And as we work with that, bringing in the balancing of yin and yang, of feminine and masculine, as well as hydration, helping these cells to take in water and joy and release any impurities that just don't need to be here. Then we've got D for defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking out the clutter that doesn't need to be here, and then what remains can be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. Then all of the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, opening up to other possibilities where it may have seemed like there was none before. Integration, introspection, shift the underlying consciousness. Perhaps thinking of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. And as we offer support to that which supports, as it gets a chance to receive that, there's almost this like foreign energy that the Chung Mo has around drinking that in. It's like, well, this is weird to actually get to take that in. Normally, I'm the one who delivers that. And as we offer it support in this way, there's also a tinge of shock energy, like undigested shock. And it's coming through the lens of the emotion of fear. And if we can imagine the Chung Mo as something like physical, it's just that fear is like a really thin shell lining it as a protector. And as we work with this really thin layer of protection, almost like an eggshell in its thinness. Yet eggshells have an incredible amount of strength and protection that they can offer new life that's developing from within. We are working here with a couple of things. We're actually going to give this shell of protection its own body talk session. And as we go into the shell of protection around the Chung Mo meridian, we're going all the way back to the moment of conception and that spark of life. And that moment of creation, depending upon your worldview, when sperm meets egg, and as those come together in their way, creating that magical biophoton release, there's this vibration that gently turns into this molecular hum. So as one molecule is formed, it begins to pulse with life as it splits into two, and the dance continues to grow and reproduce in the ways that it does. And it's in that moment of those first few cellular divisions and in the spark of that connection itself that we're actually going to be doing even more of a deep dive. So as we go into that particular moment in time, we're unhooking the belief system that life is something that has to be forced. And it's related to a series of memories throughout the family lines. And for everyone, there's a different amount of generations back. And for some of you, might have even been in this particular lifetime, where the energy of connection between the two people that created you was not consensual, was not consensual. There was an act of being forced. It might have been outright rape. It might have been the essence of the energy of, I'm not finding my words exactly, but where there's just not like a wholehearted willingness. It's like, yeah, I'm into this, but I don't really want to be here having this, but it's okay, but I don't really want to. It's that edge of almost neutrality is where though I'm going to place my wording. That might have been present almost to the point of being checked out and apathetic during the actual act of conception. And as we work through that lens of various traumas that fed into this feeling of being forced in this moment of creation itself, it's tied into this concept that life, in all of its forms, as it's growing and developing, is something that's a bit of an attack, or is a bit of a, at times, landing on your system as a form of torture, as a form of rape, as a form of abuse itself, just to be alive. And as we work with that, from the moment of creating anything new in the body mind, which might be a cellular division at this age and stage of life, or it might be an act of something that you want to put out into the world, that you want to create and offer to others, there may be something in there that's holding you back out of the feeling of that's just going to be one more assault, that's just going to be one more attack, that's going to be one more instance of torture, or the sense of like that's going to be too painful, I can't do that again. And all of the ancestral energy that's gone into this need to protect around receiving life-giving things like circulation of all those healing resources is actually creating a pushing away of life, a pushing away of the energy of growth. And as we work with that, rushing to offer that moment of creation itself, a sidri, which is continuing for a lot longer than I actually see most of our sidris run. It's actually going to run for the next 17 days. That's going to take us through not just this week, but also anger week and grief week, all the way up to integration. Well, almost completely through to that week. And as we work with this, bringing in C, circulation of all those same healing resources that I mentioned earlier. We're going to also bring in the planetary energy of Venus for her comfort, her grace, all that she nurtures and nourishes. And then we're going to run a defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking out the clutter that doesn't need to be here and what remains to be readily reorganized and utilized for healing. Then all of the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, opening up to other possibilities where it may seem like there was none before. And then integration and introspection, shift the underlying consciousness. You can think of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. And as this runs for the next 17 days on that thin shell of fear, coating that chung mo, not quite allowing all of those energies that are circulating in, we're gonna also work with releasing the terror of being supported is the wording that's coming. The terror around what it might mean to actually be fully supported. Okay, and this is going into after the bundle of cells makes its way down the fallopian tubes and implants onto that uterine lining. And again, that terror of not being fully supported by the energy here of the attachments. And it's thought that we actually attach to the uterine lining originally with the cells that eventually form our prefrontal cortex. And as we initially implant here, the center of wisdom, of higher power, of empathy, being our very first connection point, again, there's this association of terror with receiving what you might actually be really longing for, that sense of support in the form of all that the higher self might be offering It might seem at times like it's terrifying to drink in empathy. It might be terrifying to receive wisdom that goes against the grain of what you already think you have or understand or know to be true from the smaller egoic self. And there might be a tendency to distrust what actually might be quite good for us, which in turn allows us to make life harder than it really needs to be on us. And it's like we're, trying to, I often use this analogy, go through life where we have a foot on the brake along with a gas pedal. So you'll put on the brake and now try to go somewhere. Which you can still drive your car with your e-brake on, but I'm no mechanic. I understand it does bad things to the engine over time if you were to do that all the time. And we all know the sound makes, the car makes. I'm hoping you've all had this experience and it's not just a me thing that does that sometimes. And I drive around with my e-brake on and it's like, why is my engine sounding like that? Imagine that that sound, that gear grinding is something that's happening internally, also within the system. And that gear grinding seems to be playing out predominantly in the bladder meridian. The sense of, again, life has to be protected so much so that it makes it really hard for the chi to just naturally flow through the bladder meridian and to offer what it does in part, which is to regulate our nervous system, to give that sense of calmness, curiosity, the desire to connect, the capacity to be present, etc. And as we support the taking off of the gas pedal here throughout the bladder meridian, we're actually going to run a cellular repair on it, restoring its smallest unit back to its fullest potential of health. Okay, beautiful. While that all happens, we're heading to C7 vertebrae, the base of the neck that governs all things yang. The bladder meridian happens to be in the yang family. And as we work with the yang energy here of the C7 vertebrae, which is at the base of the neck, if you run your hand down your neck, you'll find one vertebrae is a bit knobbier, sticks out a bit more than the others. That's C7. There's an acupuncture point that hangs out here, governing vessel 14, that governs again all things yang. And here we actually need to work with some belief systems around men. It's also not uncommon. You'll see this a lot in older folk in their 60s and 70s. You'll see the elderly ladies hunched over, and they often have what's referred to as a dowager's hump or an extra bit of fat padding. And that's all protection. It's all protection around our concepts with men from our experiences in this lifetime, from ancestral lifetimes. And in the more mystical shamanic realms, this vertebrae is thought to connect us to the worlds beyond this one. It helps us to listen to that which is beyond. So if we have a lot of protection coding here, it makes it challenging to experience a really healthy relationship with whatever you call that which is greater than you, the eternal God, divine, universe, Buddha, Allah, Yahweh, whatever the wording may be here for you. The understanding is what we're working with here is to open up that relationship to not quite needing such rigid protection here. To repair not just your relationship to the essence of the eternal, if we can say just about that, and nothing just about that, in my experience or opinion, and as well as to your inner masculine nature and your outer masculine nature, meaning how you relate to those that have a lot of masculine energy, where regardless of whatever gender they happen to be in, but men are as an easy one to use that reference to. Okay, so here it's all relating to the themes of judgment and criticism to the point where there is a loss of sense of self. So judgment and having received criticism, pardon me, having received criticism to the point where it felt like you couldn't know your own mind about those things anymore. There was a loss of sense of self. And that may be in the form of conditioning in terms of what other people have told you about that which is beyond, the eternal spirit, pick your wording, in favor of what you already understand or know to be true. Or it may be conditioning around, if you've ever heard in particular women complain about men in your family lines and what they've had to say about them. Or maybe conditioning from experiences that you faced in this lifetime around men or around spirits. So, not a small amount of things here. And as we work with that, the judgments and feeling criticized to the point where you weren't allowed to actually form your own ideas, thoughts, opinions, or if you did form your own, then maybe they were so rigid that there was a sense of you weren't even able to question or to change what you already thought to be true. It's just like, that's the way it is. So I'm going to invite us to honor some flexibility, some flow in the form of we're going to bring in circulation of all those same healing resources, but we're in particularly working with the flow of chi through here. And as we do that, as we release those old patterns of judgment and criticism to the point where you weren't allowed to have your own sense of self, and you may even be your own, shall I use the word perpetrator in that, and blocking yourself from your own knowing or your own capacity to rethink things and flexibly change your own minds, because it might have seemed like that wasn't a risk that was okay to take. And as we work with this, we're actually going to bring a connection in through to the heart chakra. Okay, and as I sort of in essence reverse engineer this, we actually need to work with the connection between the Chung Mo, lifting up its energy through to the heart chakra to give the heart enough vitality to contain a sense of self, to contain that sense of self that allows you to know your own minds. And also allows you to know your own opinions, your own judgments, your own will. And when those become known, they also can be, if desired, set down. If those judgments, those opinions, those knowings are complete in the formation of your sense of self, and then we're ready to actually individuate and lay down particular layers of that sense of self. To whatever extent that's ready to be laid down, we're going to do so. In body talk, when we speak of individuation, which is kind of a Carl Jungian concept, other people speak to it too, but I believe Carl Jung was probably the one that made it most accessible as a concept. There is this sense of being able to lay down your will to honor thy will. Or be able to be guided by the flow of life might be another way to put that. As we open up the heart to be able to go with the flow, to whatever extent those layers are ready to be set down of all of its protection, I see the Chung Mo have an easier time of actually getting that information of vitality, of support, of chi. To rise up to the heart as it becomes even lighter, it becomes easier to nourish and nurture. It becomes over time, as layer by layer gets shed and put down, and this will not necessarily play out in one day, but it may continue to be a process. And as we work with it, bringing in through conception vessel 17 point now, which is just below the heart, its energy flow. And as we allow that to rise up to the heart as well, through to the heart, bringing in all things yin, all things that nurture and nourish, we're going to simultaneously link liver 14 to lung 1 endings to beginnings. We're going to do that for both sides. It's the last point in the liver meridian, or the last essence of the 12th house, to the very beginning of the first house, or the first point on the lung meridian. And as these begin to come into connection as endings flow into beginnings, as the spark of creation gets to flow without it being a sense of being forced, being raped, being abused, being invaded. There gets to be actually a lightness to life, to creation, a lightness to what it means to live from the heart, a lightness around what it means to honor your heart's desires. And with that, giving yourself permission to be aware of your desires and to feel them. We're going to link that through to the palms of the hands, as well as up through to that C7 vertebrae, that connection to the realms beyond this one, whatever that might mean for you and your worldview. And as we support the heart's desires, being in awareness and connecting them to the realms beyond this one, it opens up the capacity, I'm going to call it, for co-creation, for manifestation. And on that note, we're going to bring in the solar plexus chakra. And through here, we're releasing low self-esteem in the form of the belief system of things don't work out for me. And you might have a lot of really good evidence to support how things have not worked out for you. That's never happened that way before. I'm not even sure I can imagine it happening again, might be in the works. And on that note, I'm gonna actually invite you, even if you feel that way, and if you're open to it, to begin to just visualize, even if there's not quite full imagination available, to whatever extent is available through your five six senses, that success might actually be possible. And that might even mean summoning up an image of someone else that you know that has what it is you might be looking for, and just planting that seed of possibility. As we plant the seed of possibility in this solar plexus chakra, we're going to also work with the area where that Chung Mo rises up to, that area just above the pubic bone. And I see it as bringing in fertile soil, fertile soil. And for this, we're going to actually bring in the essence of the wood element, which honors birth and growth. And as we think of wooden things, trees, things like that nature, that actually grow from the earth itself through deep branches that connect into the fertilization of earth itself, that connects to fertility, of that richness, of the abundance of all the nutrients in the soil. Thinking of planting the seed similarly into deep, nourished, fertile soil that the Chung Mo gets to, in essence, water from the very root structure, from the very bottom up. And as that Chung Mo begins to water the root structure of this little seedling that's been planted, it gets to bring to fullest expression possible. You can even imagine it growing to whatever extent it does. It might have a little bit of a vine growing, it might form a branch, it might form a whole plant, it might blossom out to a bush, a tree, a flower, whatever form it takes. And as that begins to blossom and come alive in this way, linking again that essence of wood element with all of the energy of birth and growth that it brings to the table, through to this region of the solar plexus chakra, as well as to that area just above that pubic bone where that Chung Mo begins to bifurcate or split into two. Excuse me. Excuse me. And as we begin to water with chi, water with chi, this fertile soil, embracing the consciousness of fertility. And this isn't necessarily about making another baby. I mean, it might be if that's what you're up to right now. This is more about honoring what it means to be fertile in your nature. Honoring fertility in your soul, in your bones, in your blood. What is it to connect to fertile abundance without the struggle of having to deal with all that judgment, all the criticism, all the layers of protection? It might be a little bit easier for things to come into fruition without the need to protect and keep yourself oh so safe against change. Oh, so safe around being forced. And although all those layers of protection were there for a really good reason, like really good reasons, to whatever extent they're ready to be put down, they get to. And as they get laid down, they may even enter the earth itself, decomposing and creating, again, much like a compost pile does. Fertility, fertile ground in the form of the rich abundance of minerals that get released when the old gets decomposed. And those layers of protection, as they get transmuted in this way, get to become energetic allies as they become a source of that which nourish you now. I have a quote that I often use to speak to this. I think of it as going from cage, the cage of protection, to sanctuary, a place where nourishment gets to continually be held in a way that allows for things to blossom and come alive and dance and new growth, to sing a new song, to express in a new way. And as we work with this, we're going to run a cellular repair, again, restoring cells back to their fullest potential of health. And we're doing that for the regular breathing diaphragm at the base of the rib cage, in particular, the parts right at the very edges of the front of the body and the back of the body. So the middle part of the muscle, not as much, it'll need a little, but it's more around the perimeter of the muscle and the front and the back body, including the ligament that goes down into the lumbar spine, the low back area there. As we run a cellular repair here, we're going to also run TMJ to SI reciprocal. Our jaw, much like our diaphragm, has a tendency to hang on to control. So if we really want to defend ourselves and push things away, we might go and create just a little bit of jaw tension that no one even notices is really there until we end up with a headache or a migraine, or we go, why can't I put my shoulders down? Or why is my neck so stiff? And it can also show up as we alter our breathing. We might have a tendency to brace in the diaphragm, so our inhales aren't quite as full, our exhales aren't quite as emptying, and the flow isn't quite as fluid as it could be. There might be a change all the way to how it is your breath pattern is. In essence, you might chronically clip out part of your inhale, not taking in life fully. You might chronically clip out part of your exhale, meaning we're not letting go fully, and we might end up narrowing how it is we engage with life. So our breath is a reflection of how fully and openly we engage with life, and how fully and openly we dance and breathe and flow within it. So as we release control through the diaphragm, as well as through the TMJ, the jaw joints, and connect the jaw joints to the sacroiliac through to the pelvis, I see this as also supporting your essence, your entire energy, and landing within your body and landing all the way through to your feet. And grounding into the energy of not just this body mind, but to the earth below as well, through to Pachamama, Mother Earth. And as the kidney one points land in the earth, in the middle of the soles of the foot, they release all of the energy, all of the inflammation, all of the extra electrons through to the ground below. And with it, releasing any excess inflammation or agitation in the system that doesn't need to be here. I've seen that in particular release, any excess fire through the heart as well as through the bladder meridian. And I also see that then as that lightens up, it actually allows for this weight to be taken off of the back body through that bladder meridian and for the Chung Mo to then rise. So we think of it as this is your back body, this is your front body being kind of hunched over. As the weight comes off the back body, the front body gets to open and it gets to lift up and elevate as we do that. It also opens up the ligaments in our iliopsoas, our muscle that connects our low back and our hips, which can get really tight, especially if we're prone to sitting a lot. And sitting a lot isn't so much the issue, it's what's happening when we're sitting a lot, which is usually we're driving or we're working or we're on our technology and something stressful happens. And that undigested, that unprocessed stress ends up getting stored rather than flowing and moving out through the body, mind. And the iliopsoas is really good at getting really tight really quickly and anchoring that stress, and has a tendency to tighten up in the face of stress. So it's like a match made in heaven to store stress. I'm using that ironically. And as we work with this, we're actually going to unwind the connective tissue through those muscles that attach, again, that low back and the pelvis. I'm running the permissions here. It's safe to open up. It's safe to open up to pleasure. And with this, releasing old programming through the family lines that was connected to religious ideology and beliefs, that somehow the enjoyment of sex or pleasure as a female was somehow bad and shouldn't be done. That desire for pleasure should not be honored, should be shut down. And that's thinking that's going through not just this generation, it's many generations back. It's going up to 12 generations back. And it's for primarily the females on both sides of the family lines, but it's also being perpetuated to a certain extent by the males. It's just this ideology that women are not supposed to enjoy sex. They're not supposed to enjoy pleasure. They're not supposed to take delight, take ecstasy in what it means to be fully in this body mind, which is meant to be a sensual, joyful experience. And where it's not, gets to be opportunity for us to explore. It's meant to be a signal to say, hey, there's something here for us to potentially look at and to learn from and to grow from, which gets to be its own form of sensuality. So sensuality doesn't always just mean great, good things. It also means the maturity, the capacity to know that life isn't just about being happy, that it's also about being able to explore that which is challenging and to enjoy the success of challenging ourselves, the success of just being with the challenge is what I'm referring to. Not necessarily that it has to have any specific outcome, but that we have the resources to be in a place of challenge, which might sound counterintuitive, and that's okay. As we work with that idea that we actually can be in a place of challenge, that's part of the human experience, it's part of the dance of growth, of learning, of living. We're linking that all the way back to that moment of conception, all the way back where that first programming, that first conditioning was centered around this idea that life is only a challenge, that life must be faced as a challenge, that we weren't allowed to have the joy or the resources or the pleasure alongside of it. Which is like saying, go run a marathon, but don't train for it and don't eat anything and don't drink any water and don't sleep. So you can see how challenging that would be, how we might be prone to sickness, disease as a result of not being fully prepared to actually be able to undertake that marathon. So we're going to offer more resourcing, more fuel, more nourishment to that particular moment of conception. And we're going to do this relatively metaphorically, as the Changmo hasn't quite developed just yet. However, it will be. Its energy field is present. It's just not necessarily present in the form of a meridian structured throughout the physical body in the way that we come to know it, because you're just one molecule big, if even that yet. You might just be a flash of light, a vibration. And yet within that particular seed, if I can speak to it as such, there's the information of what will be a Changmo. And that information of what will be a Changmo has been informed primarily, again, through your ancestors, through your family lines. And here we're working with this ideology, this concept, this belief system that you have to earn nourishment, that you have to work hard for it, that you have to suffer for it, that it won't come easy. And as we begin to peel back that layer of ideology from your essence that will eventually become your Changmo and this spark of creation itself, we're linking it into the eighth house for its role in death and rebirth and regeneration. So if you can imagine the spark, the very beginning of it all, getting to go through a rebirth processing at the very instance that all that other conditioning was glommed onto, we get to, in essence, give this an opportunity to be reborn and then to regenerate. And then to come alive through the essence of all things eighth house, to circulate willpower, and not the will to not eat another cookie, but more so the will to fully be alive, to live. And here we're bringing in the planetary energy of Pluto. And Pluto tends to create large scale transformation. And as we bring it in, it's going to be not just for this life, but for the 12 generations back now through the family lines. And as we honor Pluto's essence and transformation on a large scale, perhaps reorienting to what it means, to what it means to create, to be created. And releasing from those centers of control that we worked with earlier, the jaw and the diaphragm, releasing that need for not just control, but the need to somehow micromanage as a form of protection in the face of those ideologies. And as that gets to lay down as well, I see the bladder meridian again. Doing that dance of laying down the burden and the front body opening up and allowing for that conception vessel meridian to be wide open and through the front body, along with the Changmo on either side of it. And as we work with it, we're actually giving permission for the chi to flow through the Changmo, in particular on the left side. From the diaphragm all the way up through to the face, through to even the sinuses and into the ear. Bringing in vitality to those sinuses that we worked with last week, along with the ear itself, the inner ear. And And there's such an overlap between all things jaw, inner ear, and back of skull. It's its own little trinity of sorts. And I often see these three needing attention simultaneously. So as we work with this region of the body now, it's safe for the feminine to hear, to speak, and to know her own minds. To hear, speak, and know her own minds. It's safe for the feminine to hear, speak, and know her own minds. And with that, releasing a pattern of feeling like you are forced to be dependent upon whatever that may be, forced to be dependent upon a system, a structure, a way of operating, an ideology, a person. And as otherwise, this need to, what's underlying it, appears to be like a need to express, to honor your essence. And it may even feel foreign. It may feel like there is a sense of disconnection to it. So we're actually going to link this through to the navel, a sense of connection and centeredness. And then to the all things 10th house, which work with recognition and outward self-expression and achievements, also career. And we're running the permissions. I get to do things my way. I get to do things my way. I get to do things my way. And then lymphatic circulation at the same time, running that through an area just to the left of the midline and all the way out then to again the jaw, the ear, inner ear, and where the skull joins the spine, as well as through the sinuses. And as it works here, I see it as releasing really old fear as well as depression simultaneously. And this is the type of fear that keeps things frozen in place. So it's actually keeping the depression frozen into place. And as we work with the frozenness itself, I invite you to bring in just a little bit of movement. And it might sound kind of odd to try to bring in movement through to your inner ear. But if you wiggle woggle your jaw around slowly, opening and closing it, you might even bring in small movements. They don't need to be big, into your head, into your neck, into where that skull joins the spine. As you bring in just gentle, soft, slow movements, if it feels too vulnerable or like it would need a little bit of support, you're welcome to just gently place a hand in that area. Or even a blanket over that area. It can feel really soft and protective and give a sense of containment. Sometimes, as we open up these structures initially, there can be a sense of vulnerability. So, as we bring in a little bit of movement through here, if things are feeling too vulnerable, offering a hand, offering a blanket, or even a pillow if you happen to be laying down, turning over that pillow aside might be helpful. And as we bring in that movement, bring in the smallest amount of flow energy that the body mind is willing to tolerate through here, imagine that all those edges of fear, all that's containing this frozenness in place here, gets to softly melt away. That eggshell, much like the eggshell imagery that I was using with you all earlier, in essence, gets to slowly dissolve, almost like hot butter comes in and just melts it magically somehow. And as those edges soften and melt away, This energy actually gets to now spread out. It gets to go global. It gets to move throughout the system. It doesn't have to be contained here. It doesn't need to be held here. It gets to softly move and groove and go throughout not just the left side of the head, face, neck, but through the right side and even into the body, mind below. And as it circulates in all the ways that it does, if you notice any places, even on a subtle way, get a little bit tense on you, I invite you to see if you can bring in just a little bit of gentle movement into that part of your body. And as this flows throughout now your entire body mind, it actually gets to be part of your new flow energy. It gets to nourish it. So what was frozen as a resource for you now gets to be available to resource your being, your essence. And as we release this fear, as we mobilize it to do what it does best, gives rise to healthy, practical action, I see it first melting through your entire feminine half, your entire left body, including the branch of that Chung Mo that rises up through here. And it's releasing this idea, this belief, and experiences that have come before you in previous lifetimes that to nourish others is to risk punishments, danger, and death. That if you were to caretake for another to the fullest extent of what you might offer others, that you may be, in essence, convicted. In some way, punished in some way. And with this, releasing the belief system that nourishment is punishment. And releasing all those times in which women were thought to be witches, were thought to be doing something dangerous, were thought to be somehow powerful and feared for that power. And with it, also releasing the essence of disgust, the essence of being found as disgusting, as well as potentially judging yourself or other women as disgusting. For how it is they operate within their gifts of healing, of nourishment, of nurturing. And with that, releasing low self-esteem through all the feminine lines in this body mind, through you, the ancestors, lineages, going back and back and back. Until source itself. And running the permissions, the words here are, I am not vile. I am not vile. And another one, fairly strong wording as well here. I am not sewage. I am not sewage. I'm releasing that judgment, that criticism, that self-criticism. And that's coming off predominantly the left lung and the left side of the heart. And with this, releasing the pattern of accepting other people's judgments based on their low self-esteem of you and their perception of you being potentially less than flattering, As you release the pattern of needing to perceive yourself through somebody else's judgments, which are just coming from their own conditions, their own conditionings, pardon me, their own hurts, their own challenges in their own life, their own ancestral lines, we get to softly release this need to be dictated, to be informed about, and instead we get to claim our inner knowing, our sense of self from within. As we release that pattern from the left lung, running the permission statements here, I know who I am. I know who I am. And then I see a lot of that old pushing away behavior begins to get set down as you no longer need to push away other people's judgments that aren't all that flattering about you, all their perceptions about you away as you drop the pattern of needing those perceptions to inform you about yourself. As we drop away the needing to be informed about ourselves from others from out there, we begin the process of more deeply claiming it from in here, from the inward process of knowing what's true for ourselves, listening to our heart's desire, listening to what we know is our wisdom, and beginning to cultivate the practice of deep listening to ourselves so we can listen to that voice of wisdom that comes from within, that comes innately from inside of us as we're born into it. And as we honor the gift that we are born into, our sense of self, linking all of that information right up on through to the head brain, up to the limbic brain, the emotional brain, and running the permissions here related to this all. I honor me. I honor me. I honor me. And then we're linking that into a series of memories around ages 2 and 3, where we're beginning to step into that sense of self at a particular stage of development. And as we work with it here, running a cellular repair on the portion of the nervous system that was developing in this stage, ages 2 to 3, and relating to specifically the emotion of fear and how we relate to it. Is fear something that became a pattern of something that should be anxiously related to? Is fear something that is like, oh, that's good to have some fear so we don't hurt ourselves? It's practical. Is fear something that we look for always, going, okay, what should I be afraid of now? How is it we relate to fear? And as we run a cellular repair, the part of our nervous system that was developing that gave us information about how we related to the emotion of fear, it was informed heavily by how our people that were raising us at the time related to fear, and what did they do about it when they had fear? Did they numb out, check out, get drunk, get high, go gambling, buy something online? Did they take time to slow down and give themselves time to process what was happening? Did they rest? Did they nourish themselves? However they dance that dance, and you learn how to, through them, cope or deal with your own fear, or deal with the energy of fear when it was present, has formed in essence how the limbic brain is shaped, in particular the amygdala complex, which operates on fear, anger, and rage as to how we perceive and receive our outside world and the events within it. And as we work with the amygdala complex, we're unhooking a bundle of belief systems that you have to keep doing it the way those caregivers did previously. And then you actually again get to know your own mind, your own way of how you want to live now. And with that, releasing the concept that it's disloyal to not do it the way those before you did it. And as we release that sense of disloyalty, we're heading into the brainstem. And the brainstem is that hangs out at the top of the spine, the base of the brain. It regulates oh so many things. And in part, our brainstem will regulate things like our heart rate, our breath rate, our digestion, our capacity to move through endings and beginnings, our sense of balance as we organize ourselves. It also works with how we perceive our environment, as well as sleeping challenges can show up with the brainstem thing. But we're going to primarily work with all of the information that gets stored here around what you've inherited through your family lines, around mental and emotional health, around mental and emotional health, including any of the sort of neuropsychiatric issues that were present in the family lines. Okay. And that could also include a fancy word, the miasms. And when we're in a place of having some challenges within our mental and emotional health, the cloudiness or the fogginess, the stupor that we may find ourselves in when we're not quite clear as we would like to be, can in part be informed by the brainstem. It can also come in through the heart. And we're actually going to work with both now. We're going to link the brainstem to the heart and its flow of blood in particular through to the brainstem. And there's actually a bit of stagnation of blood, first off, that we're going to address within the heart. We're going to also address any excess phlegm that's misting the mind, that's creating confusion or fogginess through here, through the brainstem. Okay, and as we work with that all, running lymphatic drainage to start off with through these centers and then connecting them both into the sacrum, into the sacrum. And as we work with the sacrum, giving new foundation, giving new energy, new tone, I'm going to refer to it as we bring in new healthy vagal tone. So I'm overlapping a bunch of systems here, Chinese through to Western and a few others in between. And working with the vagus nerve, which is meant to give proper relaxation or tone when it's in a healthy place, and it can get too checked out, too numb, too soggy boggy. Or it can go the other direction and get too rigid and tight and too high strung. As we find the middle ground here, allowing for, again, healthy flow through all things mental and emotional. And as we support that, releasing excess inflammation and phlegm through this entire central channel, brainstem all the way through to hearts. And again, one more time, running the permissions. It's safe to know my own mind. It's safe to know my own mind. And as we work with this, we're going to bring in circulation again of all those same healing resources, this time through to the heart meridian. as well as one more round through to all things Changmo, all things that nurture and nourish us. And as we work with this, I invite you to breathe as we tap this part out here. I feel like we're going to get more into those miasms, but not right now. The system is saying that's a lot. We've done a lot of work today. And as I check out the time, I've again gone over time. So my apologies for that. That's happened twice in a row now. My gosh. I'll keep a closer eye on that moving forward, y'all. Sometimes I go a little off base for a variety of reasons. Like last week, it was just meant to come out. And this week, I feel like the same, perhaps. And as we work with this, I've got this ending point is what I mean by that. I've got a couple of songs to choose from. I'm gonna honestly just pick one that's a little bit shorter than the others. This one's called Waterflower. It's by Bliss Luper. And I invite you to take a moment to, if it calls to you, invite in that resource that we worked with earlier. And to touch base with it one more time, to let yourself really resource as you integrate this session for today. Breathing and receiving. Thank you for calling this medicine in. Thank you for bringing all of you to the table. And thank you so much to all that's gone into creating this sweet moment of connection today. Blessings on the rest of your day and your journey ahead. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. Bye for now, y'all. If anyone has any specific